Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Everybody, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike. We are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Wednesday, March 28th, and we have a big show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by columnist from MiamiDolphins.com, Andy Cohen, and we get to pick his brain about all the recent moves the Miami Dolphins have made and get his thoughts on the guys who are now on the team and some of the guys who have left and hear what he thinks about all those moves. So later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Andy Cohen of MiamiDolphins.com. But before we get to that, let's go over all of the news that is happening in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First, it was announced today, this morning, what the Miami Dolphins paid Brock Osweiler and Frank Gore. Those numbers were released. And once again, as we expected, the numbers are really small. So for Brock Osweiler, it's a one-year deal for $880,000. So it's less than $1 million. And out of that, only $720,000 of it is guaranteed. So this is pretty much signing a guy for as little money as possible. And if he comes into training camp and stinks up the place, the Miami Dolphins can release him and it will not affect their salary cap one bit. Or if in the draft next month a quarterback falls in their lap at 11 or they make a move to move up to get one, whatever. Again, Brock Osweiler and what he's being paid, excuse me, and what he's being paid will have no effect on anything of that nature. So very little money for Brock Osweiler. 1 year, $880,000, only $720,000 guaranteed. Not even $1 million, folks. So when everybody last week was getting worked up, I can't believe they signed Brock Osweiler. Oh, my God. As I said at the time, they're going to be paying him next to nothing. Now we have the proof, and don't get worked up over it. It's not a big signing in any way, shape, or form. Frank Gore got a little more money, not much. It's a one-year deal for $1.1 million. So he got a little bit more money, Frank Gore, but not much. Again, another signing where if he shows up at training camp and Father Time has caught up with him and he just can't go anymore, Miami can release him. They're not going to be eating a lot of money here. $1.1 million, not a lot of money in the NFL for a player. It's really not. So if he pans out and still has one more year left in him where he can play at a high level or play at a pretty good level, then this was a steal for the Miami Dolphins. If not, no harm, no foul, and they can easily move on. Neville Hewitt today signed with the Jets. Neville Hewitt, he was a free agent, signed with the Jets. It's a one-year deal, no word on the financials. Not a shock Miami didn't bring him back, as the Miami Dolphins have to overhaul their linebacker core, as we've talked about on this podcast pretty much every show now and probably will until the draft. So Neville Hewitt, signed with the Jets. Will he make the team with them? Who knows? He's the nicest man in the world. We have dealt with him here at this website in the past. Really one of the great guys in the NFL. Super nice guy. But injuries the past year or year to year and a half have really caught up to him a little bit. And, you know, he's an okay linebacker. He's an okay linebacker. He's a guy you want who can help you on special teams and maybe be your fourth or fifth linebacker on the roster. Not someone you want starting. Okay, linebacker. So he is now a member of the New York Jets. There was a funny picture today floating around online. And if those of you haven't seen it, you should probably check it out. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's that funny, but today was the pro day for the Miami Hurricanes and all of their guys who will be in next month's draft. And they hold their pro day at the Miami Dolphins training facility and their indoor bubble. And so there were general managers, scouts, and coaches from every team in the league. Today, we're in Miami at the Miami Dolphins training facility, and there's a photo out there of New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick sitting in the lobby on his laptop of the Miami Dolphins training facility. Just funny. I know there's a million jokes there. There's a million jokes that he's probably hacking into their system, taking the playbook somehow, or doing what. There's a million jokes. I've heard probably all of them today online. People have sent them to me, but it's just a funny picture, I guess. If you haven't seen it, go online. You can see Bill Belichick on his laptop sitting in the Miami Dolphins lobby where he's sitting there, and pinging above him are all the pictures of the great Miami Dolphins from Marino, and all those guys are hanging. It's just a funny picture. So they're all in town today for the Hurricanes Pro Day, which took place at the Miami Dolphins training facility. Last two things I'm going to talk about before we get to Andy Cohen, and they sort of tie into each other a little bit. First and foremost, mock draft. Mel Kiper released his third mock draft so far as we lead up to next month's draft. I'm sure he'll have a few more out, God knows how many. And as I always say, mock drafts in like January and February are totally worthless. Totally worthless. Late March, okay, you can put a little more stock into him, I guess, but not much. But so Mel Kiper released his mock draft today, and with pick number 11, he had the Miami Dolphins selecting safety out of Florida State, Derwin James, which I would have no problem at all with that pick. I think that would be a great pick for the Dolphins. I've seen James play live a few times. He is an exceptional player, and he would help out the Miami Dolphins secondary. Now, in this mock, Mel Kiper did all of the quarterbacks. And when I say all, I mean the big four, which we know of, which are Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Baker Mayfield. They're all gone by pick five. He's got Josh Allen 1 to Cleveland. He's got Sam Darnold 2 to the Giants. Rosen 3 to the Jets. And then Mayfield 5 to Denver. So they're off the board quick. So, and I know we often talk about on this podcast, a linebacker position. Linebacker, linebacker, linebacker. He has Roquan Smith going one pick in front of Miami. He has him going 10th to the Raiders. And Edmonds, he has going one pick after Miami. He has him going to the Buffalo Bills. Now, if I were the GM of the Miami Dolphins, I know I'm not, but in a fantasy world, if I were the GM of the Dolphins at pick number 11, if this draft fell this way, I would take the linebacker over the safety, because I think Miami is in dire need of linebacker help, as we talk about on this podcast all the time. The linebackers are a mess, and they need as much linebacker help as possible. They need more than one linebacker in this draft, probably. So that would be me. But if they did go with James, like Mel Kiper has in his mock, I wouldn't be that upset, because I do think he is an elite safety in on the next level in the NFL. A great player. And I know some people are saying, well, we already have Jones and McDonald. Why would you draft James? Again, TJ McDonald makes very little money. And McDonald and Jones are essentially the same position. Miami needs a free safety in the worst way. Strong safety, Jones and McDonald are pretty much the same type of guy. And, you know, when they're on the field at the same time, it works. It can work. But to have a true free safety and someone like James would help out this defense. And James is, you know, he's young. He ran a 4.47. So he's very good. He's very good. Total athlete. He's a ball hawk, and he can play. So if the NFL draft sort of did fall this way, which I will say this. I know people like to rag on Mel Kiper. Oh, what does he know? Mel Kiper. And I get it. I get it. But looking at his mock, I actually think, with the exception of 1 and 2, because I don't think Josh Allen's going 1, but you can probably flip-flop those. With the exception of that, I think the top, let's say 11 picks, are pretty much spot on. I really do think they're spot on. Like I said, Josh Allen going 1, Sam Darnold going 2, Rosen going 3, Saquon Barkley 4, Mayfield 5. I agree with that, even if I got 1 and 2 maybe flip-flopped. 6, he has Chubb to the Colts. 7, he has Tampa Bay taking Ward. I can see that. 8, Nelson heading to the Bears. I can see that. 9, Micah Fitzpatrick going to San Francisco. Totally can see that. And 10, the Raiders, who also need help at linebacker, just as bad as Miami, taking Smith out of Georgia. I can see the top 10 of that draft. That, to me, is a realistic way it could fall. Now, of course, come draft night, there might be a bunch of trades that you can't predict in late March. I get it. But as of today, we sit today with what we know, I think that top 10 is one of the more realistic top 10s of the draft. So we'll see. But he has Miami taking Derwin James. And leads into the next thing I want to talk about, which I sort of touched on this a little last week, in that if mock drafts are essentially worthless, as I say, in January and February, and even for most of March, I mean, overall, they're pretty much worthless. It's just one person's opinion on how the draft will fall. But of course, once, I mean, so it is what it is. It's fun. They're fun to read. I get it. But if they're worthless, which for the most part they are, power rankings are even more worthless. And last week there was a power ranking, I think from NFL.com, which had the Miami Dolphins. I think they were 29th, which I said, you know, laughable. Laughable. I'm not saying the Miami Dolphins are a top 10 team. I'm not saying the Miami Dolphins are a playoff team. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not even saying that they're a top 20 team in the NFL right now. I'm not even saying that, okay? But they're not 29th. Well, you know, ESPN.com released their power rankings, and they outdid themselves as they had the Miami Dolphins as the last ranked team in the NFL. To which, I mean, once again, power rankings are, first off, power rankings any time of year are worthless because you have the NFL standings to go off of. So why anyone would look at a power ranking when you can just look at the standings, and that's the real rankings. I don't need a power ranking to tell me which team is better. You can just look at the standings, see who's in first place, who's not. If you want to judge between two teams that are in first place in their respective, like the AFC East and the NFC East, if they each got a team that's, you know, 5-5, well, which one of those 5-5 teams, but whatever. I guess if you care that much about it, power rankings have some value there. But overall, they are essentially worthless. Now, power rankings in season are worthless. Power rankings in March, when free agency is only 3 weeks old and they haven't had the draft, are the most worthless things in the world. And I know a lot of fans of the Miami Dolphins, myself included, when I saw that they were ranked last, I just chuckled and I go, you have to be kidding me. Who makes these things? And of course, the one for ESPN, I don't think has a name attached to it, because why would they? Why would anyone attach their name to this garbage? Because that's essentially what it is. So I'm saying, okay, they got their power rankings in March. When was it officially released? This was released March 27th of this week, 2018. Here's their power rankings, and they're ranking all these teams, telling me why this team's great, and this team's no good, and this team's awesome, and this team stinks. Well, I wonder what they did last year. So I did a little research, and I found their power rankings from, guess what, the same exact day, no joke, from last year, March 27th, 2017. So I go, well, these guys are passing themselves off as experts, and they got the Miami Dolphins ranked dead last. So last year with these picks, you know, they must have been pretty, I mean, I'm sure they're so accurate and spot on. Well, if you can't sense the sarcasm in my voice, I don't know what to tell you. So let's look at the 2017 power rankings from March 27th. So 1 year ago this time, how accurate were the ESPN power rankings? Well, number 1 was the Patriots, fine. 2, Atlanta, fine. 3, the Packers. They still had Rodgers. Nobody knew he'd get hurt, fine. Here's where it gets a little silly. Number 6, the Seattle Seahawks. Well, how did their season turn out? Number 7, the Oakland Raiders. Well, nobody got hurt for the Raiders this year. They had their quarterback all year. Clearly weren't the 7th best team in the league. In fact, they missed the playoffs. Number 9, the New York Giants. Well, that didn't work out. They're picking 2nd in the draft. Number 10, the Denver Broncos. Once again, didn't quite work out for them. But here's where it gets really good. This is where it gets really good. So you want to know how these ESPN power rankings last year really worked out? Okay, let's see. Let me scroll down a little bit. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Number 19, the Minnesota Vikings. Well, they're clearly better than the 19th best team in the league. They made the NFC Championship game. Number 21, the Philadelphia Eagles. They really saw the Philadelphia Eagles coming as a powerhouse team last March. Yep, that really worked out well. Number 24, the New Orleans Saints. Yep, Saints. They did a little bit better than 24th. Number 26, they have the Buffalo Bills. Number 27, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were probably one play away from going to the Super Bowl. Number 28, the Los Angeles Rams. So, look at the power teams in the NFL last year. By far, the Rams, Jacksonville, New Orleans, Philly, Minnesota. They had them ranked all 19th or lower last year this time. Which is why I tell you, when you see a power ranking out from ESPN or any outlet from right now in March 2018, literally ignore it. It means nothing. These guys were so wrong last year, it's not even funny. And this year, they'll probably be dead wrong again. I mean, you couldn't have been more off on all the power teams in NFL. Minnesota, New Orleans, the Saints, the Rams. I mean, they were wrong on all of them. They never saw it coming. And so when you see the Miami Dolphins ranked last in this power ranking, just ignore it. You read, as I say often on this website, some of this stuff you see online, whether it's from the local reporters in Miami, but they're pretty good for the most part, or the national outlets, you read it for comic relief. They're just putting out content for the sake of putting out content because they got nothing else to talk about. And power rankings, the last week of March, before the draft and before free agency, are absolutely worthless. So if you spend more than, 10 seconds, taking this stuff seriously, I don't know what to tell you. Just ignore it. Don't even read it. I also found an NFL.com power ranking from last year because they were the ones who had Miami at 29th. And these guys really hit the ball. They really hit a home run. They also had the Philadelphia Eagles 19th. They had Minnesota at 22nd. They had the Saints at 23. They had Jacksonville 25. They had the Bills 26. They had the Chargers 27th. They had the Rams 28th. I mean, these two sites couldn't have missed worse on every good team in the league last year for the most part. Yes, it's easy to pick the Patriots number one. It's easy to put Pittsburgh at like 3, 4, 5, or 6. That's easy. And they also had the Raiders last year at 4 and the Giants at 5. I mean, these guys missed on so much that you can't take this stuff seriously in March. So they can put out their power rankings in March and they can write with all the authority behind their words, oh, this team's going to be terrible. This team's going to be stink. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just, making it up as they go because, as I said, they've been so wrong so many times in the past. And this was the conversation I had last week online with Hal Habib of the Palm Beach Post, where he didn't see it. When I said, the national media is always wrong, he goes, well, not always wrong. I go, no, okay, always wrong is a broad statement. But for the most part, they're wrong on this stuff and nobody holds them accountable. And this is now holding them accountable. If you're going to put up power rankings in March, then you should be held accountable for what you say. And these guys last year, both outlets, NFL.com and ESPN, put out their power rankings. One March 27th, that was ESPN of 2017. And the NFL.com one March 14th of 2017. And when you go back and look at it, they're dead wrong on a lot. Not just one or two things. Like, I won't hold it against them that they each had the Packers high because, you know what? They lost their quarterback. It happens. Whatever. I won't hold it against them, too, about the Cowboys because they lost Elliott for much of the year, whatever, but they missed horribly on the vast majority of the teams that made the playoffs. So when you see these power rankings and everyone's telling you that the Miami Dolphins are going to stink in 2018, don't take it seriously. You laugh and you move on because, look, maybe they will stink. Maybe they will. We don't know. And as I said, if I had to make one of these today, which I would never do, but if I had to, 20, 21, 22. I'd have them in that range. That's fair because they're not one of the best teams in the league on paper, clearly. But they're also not the worst. Look, here's the thing, too. The Cleveland Browns have won one game in 2 years. And I know they got Landry, and I know they got Hyde from San Francisco. If Jarvis Landry is this, like, you know, someone who can change a franchise, then why did the Miami Dolphins only win 6 games last year? Okay? If he, look, I love Jarvis Landry. He's a great player. But if he's a guy who could take the Cleveland Browns, who have won 1 game in 2 years. Let me say that again. 1 game in 2 years. And I think the stat was they've won 4 of their last 44 or something like that. That might be off by a bit. But they've won like 4 of their last 44 games. And just because they got, you know, Tyrod Taylor, who's an okay quarterback, Jarvis Landry, and Carlos Hyde, that they're now, you know, they're like a top 10 team in the league, or they're a top 15. Give me a break. You know, give me. That's why you can't take this stuff seriously. These power rankings are worthless, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore, but I had to get it off my chest because having the Miami Dolphins ranked 32nd is a joke. Okay, with that done. Now, today I was joined by Andy Cohen from Miami Dolphins.com. He has been covering the team since 1980. He knows the team inside and out. He knows what's happened with the Miami Dolphins, and it was great having him on the show to get his thoughts on all the recent moves the Miami Dolphins have made. So sit back and enjoy my chat with Andy Cohen from MiamiDolphins.com. On the podcast with me tonight is Andy Cohen, who works for the website MiamiDolphins.com, and he has been following the team since 1980. How are you today, Andy?
Boy, it sounds very sobering when you say how long I've been following the team, but I guess that's correct. I'm wonderful.
Yes,
how are you?
I am doing great. So there's a lot to talk about, as there is a lot taking place with the Miami Dolphins these days. So let's start off with some of the guys who have left. Between Landry, Sue, and Mike Pouncey, out of those three, which one surprised you the most that he is no longer on the Miami Dolphins at this time?
Probably Pouncey. In Landry's case, I knew that there were problems at the end of the season, that you know, there were some personality problems with him, and that he was asking for elite wide receiver salary, and the Dolphins didn't necessarily want to pay that. In Sue's case, he was making so much money that it just made their salary cap all out of whack, so that really wasn't a surprise. You know, the trade that brought Daniel Kilgore from the 49ers here and the release of Pouncey on the same day was a shocker to me. Pouncey wasn't making all that much money. I mean, he was making significant. He was due to make, I think, $8 million this year. But I really did not see that one coming. You know, after the fact, I understand some of the thinking, but I really did not see that one coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a surprise, too, because on this podcast back in February, we had Armando Salguero, and I asked him about Mike Pouncey, and he was pretty hell-bent in saying Mike Pouncey won't be going anywhere. They love Mike Pouncey. And then it sounded like when they asked him to take the pay cut and such, things changed. So I think that one probably is the most surprising. Talking about the offensive line, now, with their trade with San Francisco signed Kilgore to an extension, I think in February, and then in March they trade him. Does that raise any red flags? Because that's odd that something like that happened.
No, I mean, I've done a lot of research in Kilgore, and they went out and broke the bank on a center from the New York Giants, and I've done some research on Kilgore. He was captain of that team. He was a very, very consistent player. He's a locker room leader. He's got very, very good skills. I think what it came down to, Mike, is I believe that they think their offensive line needs to practice together every day in order to build some continuity and consistency. And with Pouncey's lingering hip issues, it really never allowed them to do that. He practiced one day a week. And as good as he was and as proficient as he was, when you don't get an opportunity, especially on the offensive line, to practice with the four other starters on a regular basis, it just affects things. And I think they like the fact they're bringing in a guy that doesn't have any health issues at all, and they'll be able to grow this line together as a group in practice instead of holding one of the key members out because he has a hip.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense, actually. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense because Mike Pouncey, he was a great guy on this team for many years, but the last few years, even as a fan, you can sort of see not quite the same type of player. And yes, the hip was a big issue. Let's talk wide receivers.
Okay.
obviously let go of Landry. He is sent off to Cleveland. They bring in Amendola and Wilson. Overall, as a group, overall, with the five guys, I guess you would say, Parker, Stills, Wilson, Amendola, and Grant, I'll throw in there. Is that group today pretty much as good as it was at the end of the year last year, slightly worse, slightly better? What do you think?
Well, I think Albert Wilson is the unknown here. But I think when you evaluate the five, I think they're better. I don't know if I can say significantly better, but they're better. You know, if Amendola can stay healthy, he's 32 years old, but he's a great player. He really is a great player. He can he runs great pass routes. He's got great hands. He steps up in big games. And Wilson's an intriguing guy. He can play the outside or the inside. He's got great speed. Has the long distance speed that the Landry really didn't have. So when you add those two dynamics to the guys they already have, certainly with Parker and Stills, you know, you see the potential of as a group. Just like I believe the offensive line as a group will be better this year than last year. I think receiver is another area of the team that I have a pretty good conviction will be better next year than this year.
I agree, and I see there
I can't
now
say that about every area of the team.
Exactly. You can't say that about every area. But at wide receiver, I see a lot of speed here with Grant, Wilson, and with Stills. Penny Stills. Yeah, there's a lot of speed there, so I think the offense might open up some there. Now, with Devontae Parker, have you heard anything on if they will pick up his fifth-year option? I know they have till May, so there's no rush.
Right.
But have you heard anything on that?
Actually, Parker is in his fourth season this year.
But don't
Not
they have to pick up the
season.
Option now,
I don't
though?
Believe they have to make a decision on him this
okay.
year.
I thought they had to.
Am I wrong, Mike?
I thought they had to. I thought I read that a few places. I know.
You know, I don't think they have to make a decision on him in May. I really don't. And I think they're counting on him being healthy and productive. And I think after this year is when they have to make the call on him. I could be wrong on that. I'll double check for my next podcast with you. But I'm pretty sure it's not a factor this year.
Yeah, because I thought I read it in the Palm Beach Post, but I might have been wrong because there's so much news out, I might have misread it. And I know with James, this is his year five, and I thought they picked it up last year, but I could be wrong too.
Parker is listed on the official roster as a three-year veteran, which means he's entering his fourth year.
Okay.
So he's got to play out his fourth year before they start talking about a fifth-year option.
Okay, absolutely. So at tight end, what's the latest with Anthony Fasano? Is he going to retire? Do they want to bring him back? Because it's been sort of quiet on Fasano. Tight end clearly is one of the weak spots on this roster.
Oh, no,
I talk about it all the time. Yeah, I talk about it all the time.
You know, I don't think they know Fasano's not the long-term answer. And really, whether they bring Fasano back or not depends on what they do in the remaining weeks of free agency and what they do on draft day. I know that tight end is one of the main priorities on the team. I know they want to bring in. You know, you look at all the good teams in the league, Mike, and they all have this young prototype, can race down the seam of the field type of tight end. And the Dolphins don't have that player, and they need that player.
Yep,
so I believe that they're going to aggressively draft a tight end, and that will tell them a lot about whether they want to pursue Fasano or not. I don't think Fasano's 100% sure he wants to come back. So it may be both sides coming together if the need comes about like that.
Yep, absolutely. Because tight end right now is one of the weakest spots on the roster.
Tight end, no doubt about it.
It's probably that linebacker by far are the weakest spots.
Linebacker, I want to see them bring in two linebackers. I want to see them bring in a guy that they can start and then a guy that they can build on. The pool at linebacker is too thin. You know, I like Mike Hull. He's a great kid. He's an excellent special teams player. But a difference maker, a three-down difference maker on linebacker, no. I think it's very important that Raekwon McMillan, who's healthy now, plays the way they thought he would when they made him a second-round pick. He's key to this. If they can get another young, talented linebacker, McMillan can play well, and they've got Kiko. They have the makings of a decent group, but there's a lot of ifs right now.
There's a lot of ifs, and hopefully in round one of this draft, if the quarterbacks are gone, and I'm not going to talk about all the possibilities of possibly tending up to get one, but say they're gone and they're sitting at pick number 11, hopefully one of those linebackers from either Georgia or Virginia Tech are there, because I think both would be just huge moves for this team on that side of the ball, as they need help.
I just wish the Dolphins had three number one picks this year.
Exactly.
So we can get a quarterback, we can get a linebacker, and we can get a tight end.
Yes.
And then I would be real happy, but unfortunately, it just doesn't fall that way.
Yeah, I think the tight end might be there in the second round, hopefully, but
yeah,
in round one.
Yeah, in the third round. You know, tight ends, you know, you don't have to be, you know, an elite college tight end to project to be an elite NFL tight end.
Nope, not at all.
Right now, the highest-ranked tight end is ranked, like, late in the first round. So, yeah, they could probably get a good one in the second. They might be able to get a good one in the third.
Yep, and there's a lot of them in this draft as well. Running back, Miami just signed Frank Gore. And I know, I think last Monday, they also had in DeMarco Murray. So it sounds like they wanted a veteran back. They met with a couple, and they went with Gore. What are your thoughts on Gore? He's a little bit older, but he was much more productive last year in 2017 than Murray. What did you think of that signing?
You aware that he hasn't missed a start in like 7 years?
I know.
That's just like incredible.
It's amazing.
You know, I like the signing, but I think they need more. I think they need to bring in another rookie, and I think they will need to. I think it's on their list. It's not linebacker. It's not tight end. It's not a young quarterback. But right after that, those three, I think there's a need for a running back. And you can get – Jay Ajayi was taken in the fifth round. You can get some studly running backs in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round. And I believe the Dolphins will go in that direction in one of those rounds.
Yep, I think so as well.
You know, I have nothing against Frank Gore. I think he's a good player. I think he'll be tremendous for Kenyon Drake. And I think the Dolphins will get some quality plays out of him. But he's 35 years old.
It's
and
probably
running backs,
a one-year
the shelf
answer,
life
yeah.
on running backs are usually 30 years old
yes.
for most of them. So, you know, and I know he's in great shape, and I know he's a physical freak. But still, you know, age has a way of wearing on you, and the Dolphins are hoping they get one very productive season out of him.
Absolutely. He's probably a one-year answer there as a number
probably.
Two running back. Yeah, which is fine because he has been playing well. Now, I think Miami, as of today, has roughly around $5 million in salary cap space. I know they will get $17 million more come June 1st.
Correct.
They're pretty much all done now. And, I mean, they might sign someone here or someone there for little money, but for the most part, are they probably all done with free agency, you think?
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to see a big splash, but I think
yeah.
you're going to see at least two more prudent moves. You know, they can create more salary cap space. You know, it's not a difficult thing to do in the NFL. You restructure another contract. I think they're certainly looking for a kicker out there, and that's not going to, that shouldn't cost them a lot of money. But I think that, I see a couple more moves. I see them maybe signing a linebacker still in free agency, maybe a tight end, depending on who's out there. And, you know, after you wait through the first wave of free agents and then you wait through the second wave, once you get to the third wave, there's some pretty good bargains out there. And I think that's probably what the Dolphins will be looking for.
Yep, I agree. So as we wind this up, one of the last questions, I guess we sort of have to talk about the quarterback position because that's always a hot topic with the Miami Dolphins. So it looks, sounds like at least that Tannehill is, he should be ready for training camp and such with his knee. Is this pretty much, I know they just redid his contract, but for the most part, is this a make or break year for him where if the team does not have success, even as a team, that this might just, that it might fall back on him where it's like, you know, we have to move on after this year if the team is not
winning.
Yeah,
you know, make or break's a pretty hard term. I would say it's a critical year for Tannehill. He's coming back from an injury. He's got a lot to show. He's got to show that he can stay healthy. And I believe he's pretty close to 100% healthy right now. He also has to show, you got to remember that when he hurt his knee, he was coming off like six straight wins, probably the best stretch of his career. He needs to show he can pick up where he left off. If he can do that, if he can limit the mistakes, come up with the big plays, and stay healthy, that's what the Dolphins are looking for. If he can't stay healthy, if he can't do any of those three things, yeah, it's a critical year, and the Dolphins are going to have to do some serious looking in consideration, but they believe in Tannehill. from the top to the bottom of this organization, they really do believe that they're going to see a continued rise and improvement, and that's why this season is so important.
Yep, let's hope so, because like you said, he was playing great up until he got hurt there in 2016.
You know, Mike, it all starts with the quarterback.
It does.
You know,
it does.
If you don't have a good quarterback, I really don't believe it matters what you have around him. You have a good quarterback, and then it's so much easier to build the team. And that's been the case forever, and that'll be the case again this year for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I agree, because I think last year, if he was out there playing, you know, maybe they don't win 9 games or 10 games, but they probably win 8, I think, if he's out there playing. They probably win at least 8, so it does matter. It really matters in the NFL about the quarterback. Thanks so much, Andy, for some time today. Everyone, check out his work at MiamiDolphins.com. Your article, I think, was on Saturday about Wayne Huizenga. It was absolutely great. I love that one. It was really good. So
thank
everyone,
you,
check out his work at MiamiDolphins.com, and I'm sure we'll have you on the podcast again down the road.
Okay. It was a pleasure talking to you, Mike.
You have a good day.
You too.
Once again, I would like to thank Andy Cohen from MiamiDolphins.com for joining us on the podcast today. And I know there was a little confusion when I had him online about the fifth-year option with Devontae Parker. I did just look it up after I spoke to him, and yes, the Miami Dolphins have to put that on him this year, because how the rule works is you have to put the fifth, because Parker was picked in round one. The Miami Dolphins hold a fifth-year option on him. They just have to place it on him before year four starts for the player. So just like last year with Juwan James, who was drafted in 2014. So he played 2014, 2015, 2016. Heading into year four, they had to put on the fifth-year option for him. If they wanted to, they did. That's why they retained him for this year at the price they did of $9 million and change. So for Parker, who was picked 1 year after James, they have till May of this year. I don't have the exact date. I'll find out. They have till May of this year to put the fifth-year option on Devontae Parker if they choose. And again, the fifth-year option is one of those things, no harm, no foul, as we saw this year with Juwan James, in that you can place it on him, and then at any time you can just yank it off pretty much, and it doesn't affect your salary cap. So yeah, I did some research, and I found an article from Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post from January 26th of this year, 2018. And it says the Miami Dolphins have to decide at some point in May. I know it's early May. I don't have the exact date. Whether they want to put the fifth-year option on Devontae Parker. So we'll see what happens there. But I wanted to clear that up, because I know when I had Andy online, we each were a little unsure of the rule. But I did clear that up after the interview. So I'd like to thank him again. We'll have another show on Thursday. I'm not sure if I'm going to host it or if Tom will be hosting it. But we'll have another show on Thursday and with another guest you will all enjoy hearing from, so be on the lookout for that. I think that's all we got for today. As always, follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk, and visit the website, dolphinstalk.com. We got a bunch of new articles up on the site I think you will enjoy. And also follow the websites that re-air this podcast. They are finfanatic.com, FinFever.com, the website TheGruelingTruth.net, I believe, actually, and the website HTTP://dolphin-uk.com, as well as the Facebook pages, Fanatics, and the Facebook pages, Doll Fanatics. So, everyone, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.